Blog Talk Radio.
Share
I accept this award today with an abiding faith in America and an audacious faith in the future of mankind. I refuse to accept the idea that man is mere flotsam and jetsam in the river of life, unable to influence the unfolding events which surround him. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have 3 meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. Your Majesty, Your Royal Highness, Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I accept the Nobel Prize for Peace at a moment when 22 million Negroes of the United States are engaged in a creative battle to end the long night of racial injustice. I accept this award on behalf of the civil rights movement, which is moving with determination and a majestic scorn for risk and danger to establish a reign of freedom and a rule of justice. I'm mindful that only yesterday in Birmingham, Alabama, our children crying out for brotherhood were answered with fire hoses, snarling dogs, and even death. I'm mindful that only yesterday in Philadelphia, Mississippi, young people seeking to secure the right to vote were brutalized and murdered. I am mindful that debilitating and grinding poverty afflicts my people and chains them to the lowest rung of the economic ladder. Therefore, I must ask why this prize is awarded to a movement which is beleaguered and committed to unrelenting struggle, to a movement which has not yet won the very peace and brotherhood which is the essence of the Nobel Prize. After contemplation, I conclude that this award which I receive on behalf of that movement is a profound recognition that nonviolence is the answer to the crucial political and moral questions of our time, the need for man to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to violence and oppression. Civilization and violence are antithetical concepts. Negroes of the United States, following the people of India, have demonstrated that nonviolence is not sterile passivity, but a powerful moral force which makes for social transformation. Sooner or later, all the peoples of the world will have to discover a way to live together in peace and thereby transform this pending cosmic elegy into a creative psalm of brotherhood. If this is to be achieved, man must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. The torturous road which has led from Montgomery, Alabama to Oslo bears witness to this truth. This is a road over which millions of Negroes are traveling to find a new sense of dignity. This same road has opened for all Americans a new era of progress and hope. It has led to a new civil rights bill, and it will, I am convinced, be widened and lengthened into a superhighway of justice as Negro and white men in increasing numbers create alliances to overcome their common problems. I refuse to accept despair as the final response to the ambiguities of history. I refuse to accept the idea that the isness of man's present nature makes him morally incapable of reaching up for the eternal oughtness that forever confronts him. I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into the hell of nuclear annihilation. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. This is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. I believe that even amid today's mortar bursts and whining bullets, there is still hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice, lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nations, can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men.
We have found out that we must come to a stop killing that's going on. And Dr. King was talking about that the only way for us to survive is for us to begin to start a way of loving each other, not hating. A way of building love. Right now we're dealing with hate, racism, mass murder in our city, in our school, in our college. But we have to go beyond that and deal with the economics of what's going on in our country. I was thinking in the economy that we found on the phone call. Thank you, Sister Mary, thank you, Rose. We're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. movement. His movement was for peace. His movement was for love. His movement was bringing us to that we got to lay the gun down. Look how many blacks, not only blacks, have been killed. That 10 killed in Chicago, another 10 in Detroit. Over and over, violence is taking time. And people still go out and life is milk and bread. And it's so bad that the children have gone. And they rob, and all of that. But that will have to come to a stop. The government got to deal with.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor. The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. And as I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship?
Dr. King was bringing us to the level where we got to be proud of being black, proud of come from slavery, proud of I want to go to the book of Mira tonight and deal with some of the stuff that happened up in the heavens.
And let no one seek you till the Lord return you to them. And I made haste to obey them and went out from my house and made to the doors as it was ordered me. And summoned my sons, Methusel, and Rechem, and Adad, and made known to them all the marvels those men had told me. 2. Listen to me, my children. I know not whither I go, or what will befall me. Now therefore, my children, I tell you, turn not from
the Lord God before the face of the they who made not heaven and earth. For these shall perish, and those who worship them. And may the Lord make confident your hearts in the fear of him. And now, my children, let no one think to seek me until the Lord return me to you. 3. came to pass when Enoch told his sons that the angels took him on their wings and bore him up onto the first heaven and placed him on the clouds. And there I looked. Again I looked higher and saw the ether. And they placed me on the first heaven and showed me a very great sea, greater than the earthly sea. 4. They brought before my face the elders and rulers of the stellar orders, and showed me 200 angels who rule the stars and their services to the heavens, and fly with their wings, and come round all those who sail. 5. And here I looked down, and saw the treasure houses of the stars, and the angels keep their terrible storehouses, and the clouds whence they come out, and into which they go. 6. They showed me the treasure house of the dew, like oil of the olive, and the appearance of its form, as of all the flowers of the earth. Further, many angels guarding the treasure houses of these things, and how they're made to shut and open. 7. And those men took me, and led me up onto the second heaven, and
saying the angels took him up by the power of God, instructed the angels what to do with Enoch. So angels exist for the higher being. Somebody said, some guy stopped with the hell and came back. He's alive. Angels, God controlled the universe. God controlled it all. Here's Enoch.
Darkness, greater than earthly darkness. And there I saw prisoners hanging, watched, awaiting the great and boundless judgment. And these angels were dark looking, more than earthly darkness, and incessantly making weeping through all hours. And I said to the men who were with me, wherefore are these incessantly tortured? They answered me, these are God's apostates, who obeyed not God's commands, but took counsel with their own will, and turned away with their prince, who also is fastened on the fifth heaven. I felt great pity for them. They saluted me and said to me, man of God, pray for us to the Lord. I answered to them, am I a mortal man that I should pray for angels? Who knows whither I go, or what will befall me? Or who will pray for me? 8. And those men took me there, and led me up unto the third heaven, and placed me there. I looked downwards, and saw the produce from these places, such as has never been known for goodness. And I saw all the sweet flowering trees, and beheld their fruits, which were sweet smelling, and all the foods borne by them, bubbling with fragrant exhalation. And in the midst of the trees, that of life, in that place whereon the Lord rests when he goes up into paradise, and this tree is of ineffable goodness and fragrance, and adorned more than every existing thing. And on all sides it is in form, gold-looking and vermilion, and fire-like, and covers all, and it has produce, all fruits. Its root is in the garden at the earth's end, and paradise is between corruptibility and incorruptibility. And two springs come out, which send forth honey and milk, and their springs send forth oil and wine. And they separate into four parts, and go round with quiet course, go down into the paradise of Egypt, between corruptibility and incorruptibility. And thence they go forth along the earth, and have a revolution to their circle, even as other elements. Here There's no unfruitful tree. Every place is glass. And there are 300 angels, very bright, keep the garden. And with incessant, sweet singing and never saddened voices, serve the Lord throughout all days and hours. And I said, how very sweet is this place? Those men said to me, 9. This place is prepared for the righteous, who endure all manner of offense from those that exasperate their souls, who avert their eyes from iniquity and make righteous judgment, and give bread to the hungering, and cover the naked with clothing, and raise up the fallen, and help injured orphans, and who walk without fault before the face of the Lord, and serve him alone. For them is prepared this place for eternal inheritance. 10. And those two men led me up onto the northern side, and showed me there a very terrible place. There were all manner of tortures in that place, cruel darkness, and unbelievable gloom. There is no light there, but murky fire, constantly flaming along it. And there is a fiery river coming forth. And that whole place is everywhere fire, and everywhere there is frost and ice, thirst and shivering, while the bonds are very cruel, and the angels fearful and merciless, bearing angry weapons, merciless torture. He said, whoa, how very terrible is this place. Those men said, this place of it is prepared for those who dishonor God, practice sin against nature, which is child corruption after the sodomitic fashion, magic making, enchantment, and devilish witchcraft, and who boast of their wicked deeds, stealing, lies, calumnies, envy, rancor, fornication, murder, and cursed, steal the souls of men, who seeing the poor, take away their goods, and themselves wax rich, injuring them for other men's goods.
The angel is telling Enoch, these are the ones who rob the poor. Then what happened over Israel? They're going to hell. Those that kill innocent people, the angels are going to hell. So what I'm saying to you tonight, it's time for you to look up and know that God is God. Psalm 119, Psalm 27. You know, we just got ready. We just seen the sin, the depression, change what happened with the depression that went on, that people come out to see moon and stars coming together. That's God. Man can look. Man can do something about it. So they were out. I'm going to take a picture. But what I'm saying tonight, only those that obey God. The wages of sin is death to get to God eternal life. And this is what Mums always say. Give my people that are called by my name, I'm going to pray. Turn from the way I heal the land. And the earth was being healed today. That's the healing of the earth. You're going to hear about storm and flood. It ain't over. It's just poison you getting the way of God.
Being able to satisfy the empty made the hungering to die. Being able to clothe, strip the naked, and who knew not their creator and bowed to the soulless and lifeless gods, cannot see nor hear. Vain gods who also built human images and bowed down to unclean handiwork. For all these is prepared this place among these for eternal inheritance. And Thousands are using this prostate shrinking hack to regain bladder control every night as they sleep.
11. Those men took me and led me up onto the fourth heaven and gave me all the successive goings, all the rays of the light of sun and moon. I measured their goings, compared their light, and saw that the sun's light is greater than the moon. It circles and wheels to two goals, always like the wind blowing past with very marvelous speed. Day and night, it has no rest. Its passage and return are accompanied by four great stars. Each star has under it 1,000 stars to the right of the sun's wheel, and by four to the left, each having under it 1,000 stars, altogether 2,000. Issuing with the sun continually. By day, 15 myriads of angels attended. By night, 1,000. And 6 winged ones issue with the angels before the sun's wheel into the fiery flames. And 100 angels kindle the sun and set it alight. 12. And I looked and saw other flying elements of the sun, whose names are phoenixes and halcyons, marvelous and wonderful, with feet and tails in the form of a lion and a crocodile's head. Their appearance is in purple like the rainbow. Their size is 900 measures. Their wings are like those of angels. Each has 12. They attend and accompany the sun, bearing heat and dew as it is ordered from God. And thus the sun revolves, goes, and rises under the heaven, and of course goes under the earth, the light of its rays incessantly. 13. Those men bore me away to the east and placed me at the sun's gate, where the sun goes forth according to the regulation of the seasons and the circuit of the months of the whole year, and the number of the hours, day and night. And I saw 6 gates open, each gate having 61 stadia, and a quarter of 1 stadia. And I measured them truly, and understood their size to be so much, to which the sun goes forth, goes to the west, and is made even, and rises throughout all the months, and turns back again from the 6 gates, according to the succession of the seasons. Thus, the period of the whole year is finished after the returns of the 4 seasons. 14. And again those men led me away to my resting parts, and showed me 6 great gates open, corresponding to the eastern gates, opposite to where the sun sets, according to the number of the days, 365 and a quarter. And thus again, it goes down to the western gates, draws away its light, the greatness of its brightness under the earth. For since the crown of its shining is in heaven with the Lord, and guarded by 400 angels, while the sun goes round on wheel under the earth, and stands 7 great hours night, and spends half its course under the earth, when it comes to the eastern approach in the 8th hour of the night, it brings its lights and the crown of shining, and the sun flames forth more than fire. 15. Then the elements of the sun, called phoenixes and chalcedony, break into song. Therefore every bird flutters with its wings, rejoicing at the giver of light. They broke into song at the command of the Lord. The giver of light comes to give brightness to the whole world, and the morning guard takes shape, which is the rays of the sun. And the sun of the earth goes out and receives its brightness to light up the whole face of the earth. They showed me this calculation of the sun's going, and the gates which it enters, these are the great gates of the calculation of the hours of the year.
For this reason, the sun is a great creation. Circuit lasts 28 years and begins again from the beginning. 16. Don't mention the other cause, that of 12 great gates crowned from west to east, by which the moon goes in and out at the customary times. It goes in at the first gate to the western places of the sun, and the first gates with 31 days exactly, and the second gates with 31 days exactly, and the third with 30 days exactly, and the fourth with 30 days exactly, and the fifth with 31 days exactly, by the sixth with 31 days exactly, by the seventh with 30 days exactly, by the eighth with 31 days perfectly, by the ninth with 31 days exactly, by the tenth with 30 days perfectly, by the 11th with 31 days exactly, by the 12th with 28 days exactly. And it goes through the western gates in order and number.
The book of Enoch is given the working of the angels, their duties and what they'll do. The second book of Enoch talks about God telling man all what to do and how to do. They kept this book out of the King James Version. They didn't want you to read this. This gives you knowledge on the power of the Almighty God. This is the book of Enoch. And you need to get it, or I'll hold it for you.
Of the Eastern, and accomplishes the 365 quarter days of the solar year, while the lunar year has 354, and there are wanting to it 12 days of the solar circle, which are the lunar epochs of the whole year. Thus too, the great circle contains 532 years. The quarter of a day is omitted for 3 years. The fourth fulfills it exactly. Therefore, they are taken outside of heaven for 3 years and are not added to the number of days, because they change the time of the years to 2 new months towards completion, to 2 others towards diminution. And when the western gates are finished, it returns and goes to the eastern, to the light, and goes thus day and night about the heavenly circles, lower than all circles, swifter than the heavenly winds, and spirits, and elements, and angels flying. Each angel has 6 wings. It has a 7-fold course in 19 years. 17. In the midst of the heavens I saw armed soldiers serving the Lord with timpana and organ, with incessant voice, with sweet voice, with sweet and incessant voice, and various singing which it is impossible to describe, and which astonishes every mind. So wonderful and marvelous is the singing of those angels, and I was delighted listening to it. 18. The men took me on to the fifth heaven and placed me. And there I saw many and countless soldiers called Grigori, of human appearance. Their size was greater than that of great giants, and their faces withered, and the silence of their mouths perpetual. And there was no service on the fifth heaven. I said to the men who were with me, wherefore are these very withered, and their faces melancholy, and their mouths silent? Wherefore is there no service on this heaven? And they said to me, these are the Grigori, who with their prince, Satanael, rejected the Lord of Light. And after them are those who are held in great darkness on the second heaven. And 3 of them went down onto the earth from the Lord's throne to the place Ermon, and broke through their vows on the shoulder of the hill Ermon, saw the daughters of men, how good they are, and took to themselves wives, and befouled the earth with their deeds, who, in all times of their age, made lawlessness and mixing. And giants are born, marvelous big men, great enmity. And therefore God judged them with great judgment, and they weep for their brethren. They will be punished on the Lord's great day. He said to the Gregory, I saw your brethren and their works and their great torments, and I prayed for that. But the Lord has condemned them to be under earth until the existing heaven and earth shall end forever. And I said, wherefore do you wait, brethren, and do not serve before the Lord's face, and have not put your services before the Lord's face, lest he anger your Lord utterly? And they listened to my admonition, and spoke to the four ranks in heaven. Lo, as I stood with those two men, four trumpets trumpeted together with great voice, and Gregory broke into song with one voice, and their voice went up before the Lord pitifully and affectingly. 19. And thence those men took me and bore me up onto the sixth heaven, and there I saw seven bands of angels, very bright and very glorious, and their faces shining more than the sun's shining, glistening, and there's no difference in their faces or behavior or manner of dress. And these make the orders and learn the goings of the stars, the alteration of the moon or revolution of the sun, and the good government of the world. When they see evil doing, they make commandments and instruction, and sweet and loud singing, all songs of praise. These are the archangels who are above angels, measure all life in heaven and on earth, and the angels are appointed over seasons and years. The angels are over rivers and sea, and are over the fruits of the earth. And the angels were over every grass, giving food to all, to every living thing. And the angels write all the souls of men, and all their deeds, and their lives before the Lord's face. In their midst are six phoenixes, and six cherubim, and six six-winged ones, continually with one voice singing. And it is not possible to describe their singing. And there is a joke at his footstool. 20. And those two men lifted me up thence onto the seventh heaven. And I saw there a great light and fiery troops and great archangels, corporal forces and dominions, orders and governments, cherubim and seraphim, thrones, and many eyed ones, nine regiments, the Ionic stations of might. I became afraid, began to tremble with great terror. And those men took me and led me after them, and said to me, have courage, Enoch, do not fear. And showed me the Lord from afar, sitting on his very high throne. But what is there on the tenth heaven since the Lord dwells there? On the tenth heaven is God. In the Hebrew tongue is called Arabat. All the heavenly troops come and stand on the tenth steps according to their rank, bow down to them, but again go to their places with joy and felicity, singing songs in the boundless light with small, tender voices, gloriously serving him. 21. And the cherubim and seraphim standing about the throne, the six-winged and many-eyed ones, do not depart, and standing before the Lord's face, doing his will, and cover his whole soul, singing with gentle voice before the Lord's face, holy, 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 Lord, ruler of Sabaoth, heavens and earth are full of your glory. When I saw all these things, those men said to me, Enoch, thus far is it commanded us to journey with you. Those men went away from me, and thereupon I saw them not. And I remained alone at the end of the seventh heaven, became afraid, and fell on my face and said to myself, Woe is me, what has befallen me? And the Lord sent one of his glorious ones, the archangel Gabriel, and he said to me, Have courage, Enoch, do not fear. Arise before the Lord's face into eternity. Arise, come with me. And I answered him and said in myself, My Lord, my soul is departed from me, from terror and trembling. And I called to the men and led me up to this place. On them I rely, and it is with them I go before the Lord's face. Gabriel caught me up as a leaf caught up by the wind, and placed me before the Lord's face. I saw the eighth heaven, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Muzzah, changer of the seasons, drought, and wet, of the 12 constellations in the circle of the firmament, which are above the seventh heaven. And I saw the ninth heaven, which is called in Hebrew, Kukavim, where are the heavenly homes of the 12 constellations of the circle of the firmament. 22. On the tenth heaven, which is called Arava, I see the appearance of the Lord's face, like iron made to glow in fire, and brought out, emitting sparks, and it burns. Thus I saw the Lord's face. For the Lord's face is ineffable, marvelous, and very awful, and very, very terrible. And who am I to tell the Lord's unspeakable being, and of his very wonderful face? And I cannot tell the quantity of his many instructions and various voices. The Lord's throne is very great, not made with hands, nor the quantity of those standing round him, troops of cherubim and seraphim, nor their incessant singing, nor his immutable beauty. And who shall tell of the ineffable greatness of his glory? I fell prone and bowed down to the Lord. The Lord with his lips said to me, Have courage, do not fear. Arise and stand before my face into eternity. The archangel Michael lifted me up and led me to before the Lord's face. And the Lord said to his servants, tempting them, Let Enoch stand before my face into eternity. And the glorious ones bowed down to the Lord and said, Let Enoch go according to your word. And the Lord said to Michael, Go and take Enoch from out of his earthly garment, anoint him with my sweet ointment, and put him into the garments of my glory. And Michael did this, as the Lord told him. He anointed me and dressed me, and the appearance of that Lord was more than the green light. And his ointment was like sweet dew, and it smelled mild, shining like the sun's ray. I looked at myself, and I was like one of his glorious ones. And the Lord summoned one of his archangels, by name Peruel, whose knowledge was quicker in wisdom than the other archangels, who wrote all the deeds of the king. And the Lord said to Peruel, Bring out the books from my storehouse, and a reed of quick writing, and give it to the Enoch, and deliver to him choice and comforting books out of your hand. 23. And he was telling me all the works of heaven, earth, and sea, and all the elements, and their passages and voices, and the thunderings and the thunders, the sun and the moon,